Joey's going to get some time off today. And there's only a few verses that we'll be looking at today. And kind of familiar passage too, so you might even need to, you might have part of it memorized. And that's in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And normally we just look at verse 25, but when you go back to verse 22 and you read the entire passage from 22 to 25, it brings what 25 says into context. Let's just read it real quick. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to get this clear. We don't have to deal with it anymore. Not forsaking. The forsaking word is a very, very strong word. It doesn't mean if you miss a couple of services. It doesn't mean that you got an illness or something, that you can't come to church, that all of a sudden you sin because you forsook the assembly. That's not what this is saying. What this is saying is when you make the decision not to go back and never to assemble or not to assemble again. Now, it may start out a different way. It may start out, say, I was just going to skip a Sunday. Or it may, and that Sunday, that turns into 6 months worth of Sundays or a year's worth. And then you say, I'm just not coming back. Now, putting that into context with where we find ourselves at today, this is tough. There have been reasons for people not to be coming to church for health. But at some point in time, when does it turn into forsaking? I don't know that answer, but I know one thing. I didn't want to miss church. I didn't want to miss church on Easter. I want to be at church. You know what? I don't think a man can say he loves God very much if he doesn't attend church regularly. Is that too tough? You know, the Bible instructs us to worship God in His house, on a regular basis. And in the regular basis, we have come, right now we're not meeting together on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. We're not meeting together on Sunday morning, on Sunday school. But you know what? That's not the point. Because those are man-made devices anyway. Hey, I think we'll meet up on Wednesday nights. And after a while, it becomes so ingrained in us that we believe the Bible prescribed it. No, it's as often as we meet. Just, if we decide to meet, let's, just make it a point to be there. Now, and I'm going to give you an example of this. You say, when I said, I don't think a man can say he loves God very much if he doesn't attend church regularly. Do you remember how you used to hang out at your wife's or husband's place when y'all were dating? You just, every day you wanted to be near that person. You just wanted to be there. You wanted to hang out. You wanted to be next to that person. I will tell you this, if you're in a relationship with that, but the other person does not want to be around you, then I would start questioning things, wouldn't you? The Bible says where two or three are gathered together, I am in the midst. So guess what? I'm going to be where Jesus is. I want to be with other people. You know what? I think we need to love Jesus more. I don't think that's a, I think that's a blanket statement, but I think it applies. Especially in this day and age. You see, that's what love does. Love draws you to the thing that you love. Wow. Now that's pretty scary, isn't it? That's the reason why there's so many alcoholics and drug addicts, because they love the alcohol and they love the drug. Now they may tell you something different, but their actions speak towards loving that more than anything else. There's a man named, about around 2000, 2001, named Harold Camping. And he said back then that God had abandoned churches. He was the host of a prominent Christian radio call-in show. Excuse me. He told his listeners this, that Satan had taken over all of our churches. People of faith should do their worshiping elsewhere. Many pastors all over the United States were enraged. There were actually drops in attendance and giving. Camping's program reported donations of $12 million in 2000. There were people who believed it. That Satan had taken over the churches so you should worship someplace else. And we've got to ask the question, does he have a valid point? Now, a year ago when all this started, and I was not real pleased, was I, Dan? But when all this started, and the thought of government coming in and shutting a church down, well, it still bothers me, to tell you the truth. But fortunately, we were given options here in Arkansas, and so. But the thought of it, of not having church, well, it just blew my mind. Now, I had a lot of folks that would say, you know, Brother Randy, you know, we can worship God anywhere we want. We can. We don't have to be assembled in order to worship. We can worship just as well through that little computer screen. Well, I want to tell you something. They're right. Well, you can do that. You can worship other places, and you should worship other places. But God has done something. God has done something a little different with the church. There's a special purpose for the church. And so I bring that point up as far as our churches right now and attendance, and we're not in a good place for the most part. But typically, even when there's not a pandemic, you'll find people who will go around talking about the Lord's churches in this way. They'll say, number one, that church is boring. If you're a kid, you're going to think it's boring. Okay? Sorry, that's pretty much it. I did. You probably did too. And that's the reason why you had friends that came with you to church, so it wouldn't be boring. But as you get to be an adult, and when you start realizing who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for you, that should change as you get older, and all of a sudden you realize that the message that you're being presented is from God, not that preacher person in the pulpit, but it's from God, and that from God's message has a relevance to your life. Church should not never be boring. We'll get to that in a little bit. That it doesn't deal with issues that interest me. Hold on a second. Everlasting salvation, living in heaven forever, that doesn't interest you? I am sorry. You've probably got your priorities wrong. And that it's irrelevant. Church today is irrelevant. This is a product of the past. And it doesn't address the real needs of life. It addresses the needs of everlasting life. Christ wants us to follow Him in our lives. He wants to mold us and shape us to live like Him. I think that's a good deal. Another point they have is not human enough, that we're uncaring and insensitive. I don't know if I have an argument against that one or not. But the other argument is that, well, the churches are too human. They're filled with self-satisfied hypocrites. Well, those are typical things. I will tell you this, church should never be boring. There should be smiles on our faces when we sing, oh Saban, I'm glad, or oh how I love Jesus. It should not be boring. It should be uplifting. And we should show the world what Christ has given us. And it should be manifested to everyone, not only in this building, but everyone in our lives. It's not irrelevant. But sometimes churches, when they quit preaching the cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Christ, when they stop preaching the gospel, yes, then the messages pretty much are irrelevant. Not human enough? Yes, there are points to where there are churches out there that are so clinical that there's never any real human relationships. And then there's the other way around where that's all it's about. People who say one thing and do another, hypocrites. Those are typical. People were leaving churches because of that. And then you have the pandemic. Society, by the way, is unraveling before our eyes. And I am not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not one of those doomsday person. But I'll tell you, when you look, you see the fabric of society unraveling today. Just give you an example, okay? Something that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you would have said, that's just ridiculous. We all know that men have their own bathrooms and women have theirs. And we all know by common sense why there are two separate bathrooms. And we also know that God created male and He created female. Okay? And when you get these basic things mixed up, society will unravel. We need a place where we can feel a bond with each other. We need a place where we can say, I'm not alone. Because you know what? More and more as I go through my life, I feel like I'm alone. I used to be able to turn TV on and see some good family values and some things that I could relate to, knowing people who knew right from wrong, but I turn it on today and it's promotion of perversity. So yes, I need church. I need to be in a place where we feel a bond with each other and there is some truth, common truth together. There's also confusion over the abundance of spiritual options. What that means is, how am I supposed to worship God? What is the truth about God? You need to have a place. And by the way, that place is not the internet. Okay? Some great stuff out there, but if you're getting your theology from the internet, you're in trouble. You need to get to a place where the Bible and God's Word is being taught sound doctrinally. You'll discover truth. We also need a place that we can come together and encounter God. A place where people who children of God who can come together, hear the truth of God, and encounter Him. You know what? I think there's been a lot of truth in our churches being given out. I think that there's a lot of bonding that goes on in our churches. But you know what? I'm not seeing a whole lot of encountering God in our churches. We encounter each other, but are we really encountering God? Those are special moments in our churches when we know and God shows up and acts out, right? We've been those services, haven't we? We know that He's there working because we see it. Let me tell you something. The church is a divine institution. It's not man-made. God set it up. And in a weird sort of way, the church is us. We are an extension of Jesus Himself. We are the body of Christ. It makes us an incarnation of Jesus in this world. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His body. We are His representatives here. See, the church is not a human invention, but it's part of God's eternal plan to produce redeemed believers. This is the way that He wants His work to be promoted, is through the church. Well, is it acceptable to go outside the church and witness to somebody and lead them to the Lord? Yes, it is. Absolutely. But this is His foundational plan, is through the church. Can you do it better by yourself outside the church? And the answer is a resounding no. Now look, I can go on a vacation every once in a while. There was one vacation I went on a Sunday morning. I was up about 13,000 feet in the mountains of Colorado. And about the time church was going on, I was looking around. I was at 13,000 feet and I was seeing mountaintops all around me. It was glorious. Literally, I was closer to God than I've ever been. I worshiped that morning. But I'm not going to worship there every time, am I? That was my personal private. But in order to do the corporate work that God wants for this world, to reach the people that He wants us to reach, we're going to have to do it together through a church. You see, at a church, God should be the focus. Perhaps we are too human and me-oriented. But worship is the real reason for church. And I'll tell you this, if we don't truly know God, we won't appreciate church. The more you know Jesus, the more you love Jesus, the more you'll want to be around other Jesus believers. It's just that simple. You know, God will look after the church. He'll take care of the church. Every church has problems. Every church has problems. But God still has solutions. It's not like He's not used to taking care of problems. You see, no matter all this stuff that's happened to the church, our church, other churches, we can not only survive, but we'll flourish. Hell will not win. Just won't. Make us uncomfortable, make people want to desert, yes. Make it feel like that we're not winning, that God's not winning, yes. But hell will not win over the church of Jesus Christ. Ever. You know why? It's not because of me. It's not because of you. But it's because of who the cornerstone of the church is. And that's Jesus Christ. He'll never destroy our church because of that. What does He want for our church? Authentic worship, number one. We need, and you know, authentic worship is more than just talking about God or singing about God or to God. It's about the way we live our lives. And then when we come together, how we present our lives to a lost and dying world. When Mahatma Gandhi was a young lawyer in South Africa, he read the Bible. And he was impressed with the teachings of Jesus. You know, he was a Hindu himself. But you know what? He read the Bible and he thought that he might seriously consider becoming a Christian. So he went to a church for several weeks and looked around him for the promises of God. He just came into a church and he just looked around and see if he saw the promises of God. But all he found was boredom and complaining and a lack of joy. And then, right then, Mahatma Gandhi decided that Christianity couldn't be true and couldn't be a true religion. It didn't express itself. That's a problem. We may have the truth, but are we showing and living the truth? We may say, oh, how I love Jesus, but is it showing in our hearts and our lives? Is it showing in our church? When we sing, are we singing from the depths of our soul and the happiness that's found within us? Or are we still complaining about the long sermon from last week? Some of y'all are nodding your head, stop it. No! Are you concerned about so-and-so over here and so-and-so over here? Did you hear this? Are you concerned about the issues and problems of the church when you come into the church? Or are you concerned about giving your heart and your life to Jesus and showing true worship to Him? Giving Him the joy. Showing the joy that He has given you in your life. It's a tragedy. The promises of God made boring in church. There are people who are secure in God's love, but they're dull, distant, and drab. We need to find the church, in the church, these promises made visible. We've got to show worship. And I'm not talking about just from the outside. I'm talking about from the inside out. We've also got to experience God's power. It was easy in the early days because they were shown miracles. But we believe that these type of miracles are no longer necessary because we have God's Word here to tell us everything to confirm what is God and what's not. Let me tell you what. God's power is still available and evident among us. Over the past year, I can count on my hands, one hand, the type of things that have been prayed for. Just in my life, that God's power just intervened. I know God works. I have seen over the years people's lives completely changed by the one thing, by them giving their hearts and lives to Christ. I know the power of God in bringing certain people into our lives so that they could hear and be a testimony to us. There is tremendous power still yet for our church and our churches. We also, our churches are supposed to be giving sound instruction. We need to understand the world's condition, the ignorance of God. Guys, we live in a bubble here that's about to be, popped. Not everybody goes to church. Matter of fact, most people don't. Not everybody knows about God and cares anything about God. Most people don't. Most people in the world today do not believe that God exists. Sometime when you're away from this area, and we've had the opportunity to go traveling, and when you go to a different city, and then you look at the vast amount of cars. And each one of these cars are at least one, hopefully there's one, two, three, four people. And each one of these people in this crowded freeway in this massive town, each one of these people represent a person who needs to know Jesus Christ. And you wonder, do they know? Are they a believer? The sad part about it is, the vast majority of those people have never even sat in a church. We need to instruct people about Jesus Christ, about God. The misconceptions about God are vast in today's society. We got to understand that not only is it just a matter of ignorance, but it's a willful ignorance and a society that has turned its back upon God and doesn't want anything to do with God. Look, they've taken Bibles out of schools. Think about that. The Bible used to be what they taught English with. That's just a microcosm of what's going on today. It used to be people talked about God in television shows all the time, but now when they talk about God, I stand up and listen. I say, "Did you hear that? Somebody actually mentioned God." There is a concerted effort to keep God off the airways, to keep the God off the out of the schools, and anything else that they can control. We need to keep God right back in these churches, these little churches, right where He belongs. And then once we get them there, then we'll deal with it from there. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm overdoing it? I wish I was. I really do. We also, as a church, is a place where we can grasp the answers that God gives us. Studying the Bible together in Sunday school or home studies. Look, I can't stress that enough. You know, when I was in high school, I wasn't a real good student. I didn't care. Some of y'all understand that? You know why? Because none of it applied to me, and I didn't need to know it. Yeah, I didn't think enough about. I wasn't going to be a mathematician. I wasn't going to be a scientist. You know, I didn't know what I was going to be, but you know, I didn't. None of this. It was different, though, when I surrendered to the ministry and I went to seminary. All of a sudden, this was my trade craft. This was something that I needed. This is something that I desired to learn. And the more I learned, and by the way, my schooling is just about over. Well, my learning's never over. My schooling may be. But it's because I loved knowing more about God and His Word. And you don't have to go to school to love what goes on in God's Word. To love what He's done for you. I hope and pray that you can make in your life that you can make that a priority. To learn more about God. Church can help you with that. To help you learn. Look, if somebody come up to me and says, if somebody were to come up to me, nobody's done this in a long, long time. Come up to me and say, "I really want to learn more about God. How can I do this?" For one thing, once I got over having my stroke, my heart attack, I would go head over heels trying to help, give the information, give them the books, and say, "Here's what you need." But I don't see that very much anymore. We need to understand in our churches the fuller understanding of our riches in Christ. What that means is it's our riches are more than just coming to church and sitting in a pew and having fellowship. Our riches in Christ are vast. We're not just some penny-ante Christian person who's been baptized. We are the children of God. The children of God who's a God who's given us all of His glory and His riches. He's given us peace that passeth all understanding. He's given us hope for the future. We need also as a church have effective service. We need to meet human needs in a practical way. We do need ministries to reach out, and we do. And we need to cooperate on bigger projects. And as the book of Hebrews does say, we should spur one another on towards love and good works. We should be the encouragement for each and everybody else. And another thing that we need, and I love fellowships, because this is more than what we're talking about. We need intimate fellowship. We need family. We are the family of God, and we need to act like family. There was in 2001, there was a cyber church email that went around. I'm just going to read it to you real quick. I'll try not to get too carried away here. Tired of traditional church? We're starting a new kind of church and would like you to become a charter member. Cyber Church Online will open its virtual doors in 30 days. A church with no doors, no walls, and no limits. We are not bound by denomination, religious rules, or tradition. Are you tired of the same old boring church services Sunday after Sunday? Do you even go to church at all? Well, we're here to offer you something very different. As Jesus did 2,000 years ago, we're here to break religious tradition. We're tired of the judgmental attitude that is so prevalent in the church today, and we're not here to judge each other, but to serve each other. You'll have access to 24/7 instant chat time and with live counselors. They'll pray for you, talk with you, help you through needs and problems in your life. And we'll make it our mission to pray for you, your family, and your needs each and every day. Our chat counselors operate out of a physical church in San Antonio, Texas. You'll be able to see live video cam images of our counselors and facilities any time of the day. You'll be able to attend our services in the same way. You'll have a real pastor that is real and that is sick and tired of fake, money-hungry televangelists we see every day. Our church is free, and this isn't about money. It's about helping people. We'll send you daily devotions, and you'll have full access to our website to receive the up-to-the-minute changing information and spiritual guidance. Now, apparently this didn't fly because there's no evidence of a church like that today, although today we're getting closer, aren't we? Guys, I love being online. I love being able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ through a different means to where it literally could reach the entire world. And I love the times when we cannot be together that we can tune in and do this. But it's not church. It's not corporate worship. There's something not intimate. Can an online church meet your deepest needs? Probably not. The greatest moments of my life have been sitting across someone, looking them in the eye, talking to them about their salvation. Some of my greatest moments in the ministry have been standing before you and hearing what God's word is touching and molding people's lives. Can't do that online. You know, there have been plenty of television ministries, and some of them have been really good. Billy Graham did it for a long time. Charles Stanley, I can sit and listen to the man for hours and he'll let you go for it. He'll talk for hours too. But it seems like a lot of the televangelists are selling a fantasy. They offer spiritual intimacy, but they never really want to meet you. You see, love coming to church because I enjoy and love y'all. I want to be with y'all. I want to take part in special events in our church's life. I want to take part in special events in your personal lives, the appropriate ones. These are the ties that bind. And there's no substitute for intimacy gained over time. You can't get that just over the phone. This is the reason why he said to assemble together, the ecclesia, the coming together. You need church more than you realize. You need church more than you realize. Many drop out due to hurts and slights. One pastor did a study and found out many dropouts had been leaders in churches. Squabbles and disappointments did them in. They began to look at all the the things of the church and people of the church and not looking to God. There is no excuse. There's nobody else at fault if you come to church and you don't worship. It's all on you. You can't blame me for delivering a long, boring sermon. You can't blame the music director for picking the long, boring songs. You cannot talk up. You can't blame anyone else because someone else made you mad. The only person that you can blame for not worshiping Jesus Christ is yourself. As you saw in the mail out this week, D.L. Moody once visited a leading citizen in Chicago to persuade him to accept Christ as Savior. The man objected that he could be just as good a Christian outside the church as in it. And they were seated in the man's living room. Since it was winter, there was a fire in the fireplace. D.L. Moody said nothing. He just stepped to the fireplace and he took the tongs. He picked up a blazing coal, set it off by itself, and they just sat together and they watched how this fire raged on over here and this ember just eventually died out. He says, I see your point. If you separate yourself from the church, you separate yourself from the fire where God is working. God is working through the churches today if we will allow Him to. You know, this is the place that we can discover fulfillment and we can try to be committed. Hebrews tells us, don't give up meeting together. Sometimes at some point your love for Christ is going to outweigh your fear. Did you hear me? At some point your love for Christ will outweigh your fear. My biggest fear is that we've gone on so long that they've been away from the fire where God is working, that they settled into their own routines and they blindly think to themselves, you know what? I don't need church. Oh. That's Satan speaking, guys. This is where God wants us to be working as part of His body. We need to make God a priority, make God and His promises a priority in our lives. We need to be committed to Him. We need to know Him and love Him. And the more we know Him, the more we love Him, the more we'll want to be with Him, together with His children. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better place to be than church. It doesn't save you, but at least you're going to hear the gospel. At least you're going to have the opportunity to see the effect of Christ. Do you realize how many people refuse to walk through the church doors because of the actions and attitudes of those from within? May it not be so. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not a part of the family of God. You're not one of His. You're not going to receive the blessings from being in church. As a matter of fact, you know what you'll receive? You know what you're going to... If you're not saved and you're listening to the message, and God is starting to work on your heart, you're not going to come away with these great, wonderful feelings. You're going to come away with a burden on your heart. You're going to come away feeling terrible about yourself because He's wanting you to come. He's wanting you to come to Him and realize that you're lost and dying and that you're going to hell and that you need to repent and come to Him and accept His everlasting salvation. And He won't let up until you do. It has nothing to do with church, but it has everything to do with being where the gospel is being spoken. So if you're here today and you're not a saved child of God, I hope that you're miserable. Yeah, I said it. I hope that you're miserable. Not because I want you to feel pain. I know, I just want you to feel what I know is to be the truth. Everlasting salvation. I want you to feel the joy of knowing that I don't have to worry about everything when I die. And when I'm at church, I'm reminded of that all the time. Look, who needs church? Everyone. Whether you think you do or not, you need it. I need it. It's my prayer that the doors continue to stay open so that everyone will have the opportunity to experience what we experience every Sunday. So as we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart, I don't know your life, I don't know what God has in store for you. I do know that there are those who may be here, maybe beyond camera, who need to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Not much of a salvation sermon today, but I'll tell you it has everything to do with salvation. Because you can't really be part of the church unless you're saved. Not really. Not at all. And so if you want, and you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're not a saved person, Jesus is talking to your heart through the Holy Spirit, and I truly believe that He's dealing with you. Would you come to Him this morning? Change all. And if you're a saved child of God, now I'm speaking to the choir here, but if you don't think church is important, if you think that you can worship God in spirit and in truth on a permanent basis away from church, you're mistaken. You're missing all the blessings that God has. So this morning.